We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And it's another Saturday afternoon, which means you're listening to 106.3 WORD. I'm Philip Gentry, and for those of you who are expecting Boat Girl today, I kind of got bad news for you.
Very bad news.
Yeah. Well, it's not very bad news, but Boat Girl's got the day off today. So we've got our buddy and our field reporter, who's now in the studio reporter, Chris Wells, the bass chaplain. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Man, I'm so excited. I couldn't even sleep last night. I'm ready to do radio today.
That didn't have anything to do with any deer that you were hunting. You didn't hunt this morning, did you?
I didn't hunt this morning, no.
Okay.
You know, and some people would question whether I ever hunt anyway. It's just kind
of I'm having that
year. It's a nebulous thing.
I am having that year. But welcome to Bass Chaplain. We got a lot. I tell you what, this is a good opportunity because we got a lot of professional bass fishing stuff that I need to get. We need to get sorted out.
That's right.
And a lot of stuff's going on. And also want to talk about the switch is on in the Electric City. You can now hear 106.3 in Anderson. Let's call it Metro Anderson. I don't know if there's anything Metro about Anderson, but in the Anderson area, we got a translator now, 101.5 FM in Anderson.
Welcome, Anderson.
That's right, man. That's Lake Country and everything. I tell you, that's been a big deal. Been really looking forward to getting that expansion and maybe even some more expansions. To the west.
A lot of good sportsmen in Anderson, I tell you. A lot of fishermen and hunters, and so welcome.
Yeah, yeah. So we got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to start off with the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about stuck in the rut.
Mm.
And
I need to talk about this.
The rut is going on now. Of course, I sometimes wonder if the rut isn't going on in September. But the rut is definitely in full swing, if not even, I won't say winding down.
People say that, but I've seen deer rutting well after Thanksgiving. So
yeah.
I know they're blowing and going right now.
As soon as the velvet comes off, anything can happen.
That's right.
When it comes to rutting. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk to Chris about a lot of different stuff, but the big news is the boat raffle. We got
boat raffle is about to happen. We're less than a month away.
So. A month away from the boat raffle, and is it now the speaking engagement? Is there a season?
There's a speaking season, and in October was loaded. God, we did probably 17 events in October, and I was gone the vast majority of October. It's winding down now. Everything's winding down.
Is there like a Christmas rush to get?
No, in Christmas, most churches don't do a whole lot of things with speakers. It's all Christmas cantatas and Christmas parties.
Okay.
I need to be a one-man Christmas cantata during December, but that doesn't happen.
And then we're going to talk about the world of bass fishing changing. And the big news just 2 weeks ago was Major League Fishing announced that they were acquiring FLW.
That's right. That's exactly right. Big acquisition for Major League Fishing.
So we gotta get the behind the scenes scoop on that from Chris Wells. Also, have you heard about the National Professional Fishing League?
I have not heard about the National Professional Fishing League.
Oh, I have to tell you about that.
Yeah,
then.
You gotta tell me about that.
Yeah, the National Professional Fishing League came out on Facebook about a week or so ago, and we talked about it on the show. That they're starting a $100,000 tournament, and they're taking applications now. So yeah, so we'll talk about that. So
man,
and like I said, just a lot of stuff going on in the world of professional bass fishing now. If you're a professional bass fisherman and you don't have anywhere to fish, you're not trying.
That's right. That's right. If you even think you're professional, there's plenty of opportunities to get out there.
If you can catch fish,
and lose
right?
your money.
A lot of people think they're professional, but they can't catch fish to be a professional.
They do. That's exactly right.
So then during the second hour, Chris is going to bring us stand in for the Roadkill Cafe, and I have no idea what you're cooking today.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be doing venison chili. I mean, it's everybody loves chili, and it's just the time of year, and it's finally getting cold enough to really dive into some chili, so we'll talk about cooking.
You got some left?
I do have a little left. I do. Actually, I had some. I had some, and it's been left over from several years.
I was going to say, I still got some venison left over from last year. I tell you what, it's getting bad. It's getting bad around my house.
It's been really bad for me this year.
And so looking forward to that. And then we talked about, you know, the Upstate Outdoors blog would be about the rut. But with the rut comes the lockdown. Okay, so we will explain the rut and the lockdown. Are they the same? Are they different? But I actually found this on bonecollector.com, deer hunting tips to beat the lockdown.
I like it.
Yeah, so drive
I'm going to need some tips.
Drive up down the interstate and have somebody drive for you.
Right, yeah. Somebody told me the other day that I needed to put a big old, some kind of a protrusion on the front of my truck. I'd do a lot better.
And then, actually, from one Bass Chaplain to another, we're going to have an interview with Glenn Chapelier.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Who is the FLW angler. And I didn't realize this. He is an angler for FLW and their chaplain.
That's right. And, you know, I always tell people there's a reason I'm the chaplain on the Bassmaster and BPT tour. Because I mean, everybody knows I'm
You're
not
just the
fish.
Chaplain.
Glenn can actually catch a fish every now and then. And so he actually competes and does the chaplain for FLW. He and I went to the same seminary. And so we've been good friends for
a
while.
What class was that y'all took? Was there a bass fishing
you
class?
You know what? We were
seminary?
Hoping for a bass fishing class, but it's ironic they actually have a sportsman's outreach class now.
Wow.
And Glenn helped pioneer some of that. So
that really is good. Awesome. Yeah. And then we're going to wrap up today's show with our calendar of events. I won't put that on you. I'll do that. Normally Boat Girl reads the calendar of events, but I'll do that. And then our parting shot today, just when you thought it was safe, of course, it's cooling off. Just when you thought it was safe to go into the duck swamp, we got a story about an alligator who can climb fences, right?
That is alligators.
That's not what you want
to
see.
That's one of the reasons I moved to the upstate. I don't want to deal with alligators.
That's right. Growing up down in
Somerton, South Carolina.
Somerton, okay.
Santee Cooper Reservoir. I actually one time was thinking about becoming a diver and diving in golf ponds to get golf balls until I realized I'd have to deal with alligators.
Oh,
and that's what killed that.
I had some buddies. I went through that. I went through the training and all was, scuba diving, dive master and all that stuff.
Right.
And had a lot of buddies down on the coast who dove for golf balls in there. And they said, I don't know what it is, but I never get sick.
Yeah.
They never got sick. I mean, they never caught a cold air and everything. They said, must be all the runoff.
It is, all that stuff that
goes
getting,
in there. And he said, I'm probably going to die from cancer
in
about
10 years.
They get a
lot of tetanus shots. They get a lot of tetanus shots from all that stuff.
So, got an interesting story before we go to the break. This was in the woods this morning, and it's actually the stand I hunt a lot before the show. I call it the Saturday morning stand. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these things where you've got to sneak and get in there, and it's real easy access, kind of like what you were talking about. You just walk in,
right,
and you can look downhill, and the wind was coming that way. And no sooner had I got in, and I see, before daylight, and I see something dark walking uphill. And I hate it when they come uphill, because that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking in the binoculars, and here comes little old four, probably about a 5-point, and he just meandering around. He makes two scrapes on his way up the hill. And I'm like, I don't need this early in the morning because the time change and everything, I'm still not good and awake. And that joker comes right beside the tree. And I got my ladder stand on an oak tree, and it's dropping pretty good. So he decides he's going to have breakfast at my feet.
Right, yeah.
This morning. That's what I was doing at
daylight. Why can't a 16-point ever do that? You never see a 230-pound non-typical huge buck ever come under your stand. It's always those little guys.
It's always those little guys.
That's
and,
right.
And I'm like, man, the only thing I could do is I watch with binoculars because I can see better.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down there, and there's a couple of does that kind of ease into the – I'm watching a corn pile downhill, and I'm like, man, I don't need this guy to blow me because I'm thinking something's going to happen down the hill. So, I'm sitting there breathing in and out, and finally he just kind of meandered on, and he stepped in my path that I walked in. And I always wear, rubber boots.
Yep.
So pretty exciting morning.
It is. Anytime you're seeing deer, that's a good thing.
I didn't pull the trigger, but anyway. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about stuck in the rut and what that means for you deer hunters out there.
Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll be right back. 106.3 WRD, Upstate Outdoors. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, it's not like we're not having cold weather, but have you ever heard this statement around deer camp? We need to get some cold weather to get the rut going.
That's right.
Did the rut get started going because of the cold weather, you think?
I don't think so. I think it's been going for a while.
Well, you might have been one of those who said it. If you did, you're wrong. According to Mark Buxton of Southeastern Wildlife Habitat Services over down in Magnolia, Alabama, that's a company that provides deer management services across the Southeast and into the Carolinas. The rut for white-tailed deer is not triggered by weather or temperature, but photo period. It's like the spawn.
Photo period, like the
photo period. That's how fish, game, everything keeps track of what day it is. Because, you know, every day the sun's just a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit less, and a little bit less. That's the amount of daylight that strikes a deer's eye, signaling the appropriate time of year. And that's going to be pretty consistent, you know, the photo period. Right. He says the timing of the rut will occur at different times in different areas, said Buxton. In places like Alabama and Mississippi, the rut may not occur until late January or even February. While in South Carolina, the rut occurs in October and November, and even across our state, by the end of October, down in the lower part of the state, it's pretty much done.
I've wondered that my whole life, why Alabama has a late rut. That explains
it. It's just the photo period doesn't change. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to that. It's just that's how they know it's our time, whatever their time is. Let's see. It says... And that will vary by a couple of weeks across the area, but it rarely varies much year to year because the photo period remains pretty consistent. Now, unfortunately for deer hunters, when the rut does kick in during a period of warm weather, most of the rutting activity, and that means movement, does running and being chased by bucks, occurs during the most temperature comfortable time.
Everybody's at night.
At night. Yeah, don't you see that? Now, temperatures will restrict deer movement during daylight hours. By the fall, deer have shed their summer coats and put on their winter coats, said Buxton. Just like you and me, they aren't in much mood to be active while it's hot, and they're wearing long johns. So all the activity occurs after dark when the temperature is cooler than during the day. Now, this year, I mean, like I said, we're sort of toward the end of the rut now. We got, as a matter of fact, next hour, we're going to talk about where I think we are in the rut, which is the lockdown.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So the lockdown period. So we'll talk about that. But if the does are not moving, the bucks will not be moving either. It's an unfortunate cycle that many hunters blame on the moon phase or even hunting pressure. When you see the majority of your deer standing on the side of the road on your way home, than you did sitting in a deer stand. Mm. Buxton added that a well-defined rut has much to do with a well-balanced deer herd, and hunters who have never hunted a property managed properly during the rut really can't comprehend what hunting the rut is about. Mm. Basically, what he says is it's like flipping on a light switch. All of a sudden, they're just running everywhere. And it's like that two-week period of time. If you want to, and he said, if you want to witness a synchronized rut, a week to 10 days when the rut is wide open and you're as likely to see him chasing at noon as you are earlier or late in the day, you need to focus on three things to get your deer herd in balance. Mm. Okay, the first one's going to be good buck to doe ratios.
Mm, yeah.
And typically that's one buck per three adult does. One to three. Think about, and then that's on the low side. He actually gives a range of 3 to 6.
So 1 to 40 is bad.
One to 40 is not good. Yeah, 1 to 40 okay. is not good. That means you need to take
problems.
Some more.
I can see.
Is that what do you think you got in the properties that you hunt?
You know, I really don't think I've got a huge population of properties that I've hunted, but I do think that my doe population is a little out of whack with my buck population. I see a lot more does. And
I'm gonna tell you what, looking at trail cam photos, and I look at a lot of them this year, I think I got 1 to 1.
Really?
I really do. I mean, I see, okay, today, this morning, I saw 7 deer, 4 bucks, 3 does.
Wow. That's a good situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, but unfortunately, what I'm seeing is pencil heads.
Yeah.
You know, pencil head and forks.
I think I could, what we're talking about, lockdown, I think that might have to do a lot, with what's going on.
Well, the other thing that he says is a properly balanced age structure. That means your property will contain almost as many mature deer as young deer, but with an appropriate year class system to replace those deer that are harvested or aged out. Just like fishing, you want good year classes every year.
That's right. And I think, guy told me this the other day. He said, you can't have a good varsity team if you keep shooting the JV team. And in South Carolina, we see a lot of that. A lot of people want to shoot the JV team instead of letting them get to the varsity team.
I see a lot of D team members dead
exactly
on the field
right.
But
yeah.
In middle school. But as far as the timing of the rut in South Carolina goes, Charles Ruth, Deer Projects coordinator for the state, said that historical data for the Palmetto State shows that most record book deer are taken by hunters during the last 2 weeks of October and the first 2 weeks of November.
Yeah.
And I would say for game zone 2, which is where we are, that's pretty accurate.
Right, yeah.
If you're down on the coast, then I'm going to move it up two weeks and say basically the month of the late September and the month of October. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the mountains, your rut's going to start probably about middle of November. So if you're in game zone 1, you can expect to see that. Now, a lot of people say, like you said, well, I see a lot of chasing going on around, Thanksgiving, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's when we talk about the trickle rut. That's when those first, that if those does don't get bred, during that time, you'd wait another cycle, which is 28 days
right.
for deer, and you'll see it go on again.
Right, okay. I see a lot of that happening around.
But I think what we see in the upstate, and how much time do I got? Yeah, I got plenty of time. So I think what we see in the upstate is we've got such a diversity, and this is not good, but we've got such a diversity of different, I was seeing fawns still in early October with spots on.
Yeah, me too.
And I think what's happening is, and a buck's going to breed whenever he can.
Right,
okay.
Right.
He don't care about no calendar or whatever. He's gonna breed whenever he can. So this is all driven by the does. But I think they get staggered because of numbers fluctuations one way or the other. And what happens is instead of having a well defined rut for October and November and then 28 days later having another, trickle rut, I think we just get a trickle rut the whole time.
Right, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
And that's why I say, but now I can definitely, and I don't want to blow what I want to talk about next hour, but I have last week and this week and next week, which is why I'm taking vacation,
right.
I think we're seeing the lockdown,
yeah.
which is when the bucks are with the does. And they're not moving
they're
much.
Not moving
the does are not moving much.
That's
they're
right.
they're kind of waiting for that. I mean,
Yeah, that's the frustrating time during the rut.
Yeah.
It really is. That can be tough. Got to be patient.
Yep. So, we want to talk more with Chris. Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain, about some stuff he's got going on with some fundraisers in your ministry. But before we get into that, let's go to our break. And then we'll be fresh talking about, hey, how you could win a Nitro bass boat.
Yep, coming up real soon. You can be in a bass boat, fully rigged.
Stay with us, 106.3 WORD, 101.5 if you're in Anderson. Woohoo! We'll be back. All right, well, we're back with the Bass Chaplain, Chris Wells. And I hadn't really give you a whole lot of chance to talk, Chris, because I'm going to stick with my schedule. That's the way I do.
Yeah, that's good.
But with the Upstate Outdoors blog and all. But want to talk about the boat giveaway.
Man, I'm
– Boat raffle.
Yeah, the boat raffle's happened. This is our second annual boat raffle, and it is going to happen December the 7th right over there at Cabela's.
In Greenville.
Yeah. And so we started, I got to do a big shout out to Concord Mills Bass Pro Shop because Eric Winters over there is the manager, and he is awesome. And that's who I get my boat from.
Yeah.
And I'm on the Nitro State team. And we decided a couple years ago with Well-Spoken Ministries, my board voted that, you know, raffles are legal in South Carolina, and we were really struggling, I'm a full-time Christian speaker and getting funding, to be able to do things, to be able to go places where you can just go because they call you up and say, hey, we want you to come and preach, to us. I want to be able to go for free. I don't care if you pay, stuff, but you just can't, in life, you can't do that. You have to have a way to, make income. And so it was always a struggle. With the boat raffle, what that did was it set me free to be able to go to places. This past summer, I got a chance to go to a Camp Sockahatchee and talked to teenagers, and I think 15 teenagers gave the lives of Christ. I would have never been able to go there if it wasn't for the boat raffle. It allowed me to go and do that. So it gives us the freedom to be able to do some things that we would never normally do. I get to publish some stuff, and I get a chance to do some video filming, things that we'd never be able to do to reach out to more people to be able to do that. But we get the boat, and it's a fully rigged Nitro Z18 2019 bass boat. It's got a double power poles. It's got two Lowrance depth finders, an X9 and an X7. It's got a Fortrix trolling motor, 80-pound thrust trolling motor, a 175 Mercury four-stroke, and it gets great gas mileage. The thing will run 63 miles an hour with me in the boat by myself, and it's a fantastic boat.
So pretty much the same fishing machine that Kevin Van Dam and Edwin Evers are running.
That's right. In Major League Fishing, that's what they run. The Z18 is what they run in Major League Fishing in the cup side of it.
Yeah.
And so that's the boat.
So this ain't no slouch boat.
It's a really great boat. I tell you, I love there are a lot of different bass boats that are, bass boats are just like anything. There's a high end and a low end to everything. A Nitro is what I call a working man's boat.
Yeah.
That's a boat that, all bass boats are expensive now. Everybody knows that. But a Nitro is still one that, you can actually, you can kind of wrap your mind around, and it performs real well, runs great. And it's going to be a good bass boat for somebody. And really, we're trying to just push that, hey, you're not only getting a chance to win a boat, but you're supporting this ministry, and that is just vital to us. And it has been a great thing. So we're looking forward to it. And you can go to chriswells.org and get your ticket. And the goal is to sell 500 tickets. They're $100 a ticket, and that'll pretty much finance my whole year.
Yeah.
And
so how'd you do last year? Did you end up selling all 500?
We did. We sold actually over 500 last year. I think we did about 600 tickets last year.
Yeah.
And it just really helped us out and gave us the freedom to be able to focus on the ministry and not have to focus on fundraising all the time. Or either when a church comes, the person that books my stuff can say, hey, he can come for whatever. You can just get him there, and he'll come for whatever.
So
it's been really good, to be able to do that.
So how has that – have you been able to increase your speaking engagements because of that?
Absolutely.
What'd you go from – adding on from last year?
This year, the most I've done in a year is about 89 events, and that's over 200 days a year.
Is that including all the bass stuff?
That includes the bass stuff as well. I've done as few as 32 in a year and as many as 89 in a year, but we have really increased. I think in the month of October, we did 17 events in October itself. And those were wild game banquets, revivals, just filling in at churches on Sundays and things like that. And youth events, do a lot of little camps and things of that nature. And love to be able to go without the burden of having to say, hey, we need this much in order to come and speak to your event.
Yeah.
I just want to share, I just want to share the gospel. And I love to share my message with people. And that allows me and affords me to be able to do that.
That is awesome. Now, last year also, you were doing Ironman bass chaplaining.
Yes.
With doing two different tours.
That's right, yes. And we're gonna somewhat keep doing that this year.
Okay.
One of the things we found in Major League Fishing is that Mark Rose does something on Sunday mornings, and I actually asked Mark to do this. He does something called Fishing Church.
Yeah.
And he does it at the boat ramp, and we noticed that only probably 5 or 6 anglers would show up to it, but 45,000 anglers were watching it on Facebook.
Wow.
And that is amazing. And so we're gonna keep doing that. And we're going to kind of move the Fellowship of Christian Anglers meeting into the Fishing Church realm.
Okay.
And Mark will do those. And when Mark can't do it, I'll do it. And so we're going to kind of tag team that. And that'll free me up to be a lot more at Bassmaster events as well. And Bassmaster went real well last year. I'm very, very excited about what they're doing and the new guys over at Bassmaster and the pros that are being developed there. And it's really been cool. And the organization there. The Bassmaster organization, the owner now is a committed Christian, prays with me just about every week, and just love the guy to death, and so it's really, really cool thing.
And so with the Bassmasters, you have been doing a focus meeting.
Right,
which
the Fellowship of Christian Anglers meeting.
Yeah, and so that's generally on like a Wednesday. Yeah. That's the last day of practice before usually they start fishing on Thursday or Friday.
That's exactly right. I do the right after the pre-tournament meeting, we have our meeting, and that's really kind of the best time for those guys to get in there. And then I just stick around till cut day, because on cut day is when, a guy finds out whether I'm going to make any money this week or not.
Yeah.
He's more interested in talking about God. So it's very advantageous for me to stay there, during that time. And that's what you do in ministry. You look for opportunities when people are more open, when God's working, and just say, hey, he may use a financial situation, a situation at home or whatever, some kind of tragedy or a happy time, whatever, transition times to be able to speak to them.
How many of these guys, and maybe it's just more awareness on my part, but I'm seeing a lot more bass guys that are taking their families with
when
they fish. I guess with the advent of, the popularity of homeschooling, it's like, honey, let's just, hit the road, or the kids are out for summer. Let's just hit the road and go.
That's right. And, traditionally, those men have just kind of left their families and gone. And there are a lot of guys that still do that. A lot of them camp, and they'll bring their wives and their children with them, and they'll homeschool. And so that's another opportunity for me to get in there. And, really, if we wanted to, we could develop all of the pro tours where we had a full ministry for teenagers, for children, all the way up, for the wives, all the way up, to the Bass Pros as well.
Because when you first started doing this, I was going like, Bass Chaplain and that's when the Bassmaster Elites was basically, you had that tour, and of course, Glenn Chaplier had the FLW.
Right, FLW.
So you were just doing the Bass Elites, and I was like, 40, 50, 100 people.
Yeah.
But it's not 40, 50, 100 people.
It's probably three times that. Plus, now you have the staff, the bass staff,
yep.
And also on Major League Fishing, you have the marshals. I mean, the judges.
Yeah.
And in Bassmaster, you have the marshals, and you have – so it's really, it's 200 or 300 people, and which is really, if you think about it, that's pretty much the large end of most of our churches today. Or if you have a 300-person church, you have a large church. I know it when I was a youth pastor – down in Sumter, South Carolina, I had 250 kids in my youth group. We were bigger than 90% of the churches in our association. And
wow.
It's a lot. It's like being a pastor of a good sized church.
And then you add on top of that, you've got, because a lot of these guys, they take their wives with them, and their wife is their sort of social media coordinator and outreach and stuff like that. And a lot of those guys are helping you promote your ministry by putting you on social media to folks that are, you know, an Ott Defoe fan, you know, because Ott's a big supporter.
That's exactly right.
Andy's a big supporter. And all those guys, so the outreach there is phenomenal.
It really is. You know, guys like Randy Howell and Alton Jones and Clifford Persh and James Nygmeyer and Andy Montgomery and Ott, of course, you know, all those guys, Edwin Evers, very, very supportive of everything I do. And you're going to miss out. I should have just quoted the whole field because all those guys support me. And they're really good about doing that. And just great. You know, we got some high-character guys there that really walk with the Lord. And you don't see that in a lot of sports. You don't see as vocal, about it as these guys are, but they're really good. And I just did a video for us. I think we've got that one up on my Facebook page and Andy as well. And I think we got one coming from Edwin Evers as well. And so it's been pretty cool.
That is awesome. And I know we talked with Edwin after he won the Bass Pro Tour.
Yeah, what a year.
Championship.
Yeah, what a year. You know, he had
lost his house.
Lost his house to a tornado.
Yeah.
And then
was living
back,
out of a trailer all the time.
And then came back and won the first BPT championship. And he's the world champion. And what a roller coaster year. I mean, he's a former classic champion, former angler of the year guy, and just a great character guy, just really is. And he had a trying time. He had the mountaintop and he had the lowest of the low times as well.
And still, I mean, in those times are continuing because the last I saw, he had a bunch of crows in his pecan farm trying to figure out how to get rid of crows.
One of the big things with me and Edwin is that he calls it a pecan farm.
Pecan farm.
I'm a pecan farm.
Pecan.
And whenever I'm talking to him about pecans, I always say pecan. That's like me
talking with guys out west about crappie and crappie.
That's right.
You got to speak the language.
That's exactly right.
Well, let's go to our break. And what we're going to talk about when we come back, we got more deer hunting. No, we're going to talk more bass fishing. We got to talk about the big announcement between MLF acquiring FLW. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, well, we're back, da-do-do-do-da-da-da, with Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain. And Chris, a lot of folks, and I think we've covered this on the show, but about 2 weeks ago, Major League Fishing announced that they were acquiring FLW.
That was the worst kept.
There we go. Push that button on.
That was the worst kept secret in bass fishing. It's been you know, the rumors have been out for a long time that they were going to do that, but that is certainly shaking up the bass fishing world. FLW pros are going to have to make their adjustments, but it's a, you know, we're back to two major fishing trails again now, basically. And so a lot of guys are saying the sky is falling. You know, when Major League Fishing happened, you have basically two camps. You have people that love it and people that, you know, you're getting new followers. And they're getting new eyeballs that have never watched fishing before. And you got the old school guys that hate it. They can't stand that, you know, they're just catching dinks and they're just catching small fish.
Dink fest.
Yes, right.
And I've heard that.
Man, I tell you, you know, what happens is, you know, the same thing happened when Bass split with the FLW the first time. Everybody said the sky was falling. It wasn't going to work. Everything's coming to an end. But it all shook out. And I knew that was going to happen. And it really has now. And you got new stars emerging on the Bassmaster Tour. And you got the old guys on the MLF tour, and you're going to have some new stars coming up through the feeder system now. So,
and I think, and that's interesting that you say that, you call it the feeder system, because
you have to be careful saying that.
Well, you got the BFLs, you got the collegiate, you got basically the structure that Major League Fishing doesn't have, because they're, you know, that's kind of the, I hesitate to say all-star because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put down the FLW anglers, because
right.
those are some class anglers that could fish anywhere.
Brian Thrift's on that tour, so
they could fish anywhere they wanted
the
to fish.
Yeah.
Okay, and they just, they're comfortable with so and so. I think there's MLF and the FLW Tour and the Bassmaster Elite. I mean, all those guys I think are about the same level.
Right. Yes,
but then you come down below that. I really do think FLW has a better farm system from there. As far as your weekend anglers, your college anglers, although Bass has got a great college program too,
right, yeah,
and your high school and stuff, you know, feeding into that. Because like we talked about at the beginning of the show, anybody that wants to bass fish can. And I mean, if you're looking for a tournament, I don't care what age, what level, there's one out there.
Oh, goodness. Every lake, every Saturday has got a bass tournament. There are more bass tournaments now than has ever been in my lifetime. There's more opportunity now for people to fish professionally, or even just give it a shot. And when I say give it a shot, you know, one of the things that people ask me all the time is they say, you know, is it really, isn't it just luck that people catch it? Fishing is a gift just like any other sport. And the guys, and there are a lot of guys that think they can fish professionally. I used to be one of those guys until I found out, you know, I was pretty good at the club level. And I was winning, I was probably cashing a check in 80% of my club tournaments. Moved up to the next level, which is a team trail, and found out I was not that good at all. And so, but a lot of guys never realize that they aren't that professional caliber, and they keep trying. And there's an elite level of anglers out there, and everybody on the FLW Tour is at that level. They can win an event anytime, anywhere, and those guys are really first class. Same thing with Bassmaster. You know, all those guys. Now, the MLF guys may have the accolades, and they do. They've got the Classic Championships, the Angler Year Championships. But be for sure that FLW guys could win any event at any time.
Well, and we were talking when we started the show, the National Professional Fishing League Ownership Group has announced that they are going to start a tour in 2021, and just kind of hit the highlights at our focus is to bring simplicity back to professional bass fishing. I don't know what that means. But on one lake, 125 anglers, 3 days of fishing, the heaviest combined three weights wins.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they're not even going to pare down their field. Everybody, you know, all 125 are going to fish every day. There's no requalification for the first 3 years. They're going to have six tournaments, two spring, two summer, two fall, $5,000 entry fee per event, no entry fee for their championship. They're going to have live streaming all 3 days, trailered weigh-ins, all that. And they're saying right now they're hoping to have right now it's a guaranteed $50,000 first place. But they're trying to move that up to $100,000
right
per tournament.
Yeah. When they say simplicity, it just means kind of doing it the old way. One of the things that professional fishermen have been pushing for their whole careers is to have events that don't have an entry fee.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a golfer, you get your, you know, you're not paying, you know, to be in the tournament. You've got your card and you're on the tournament and you're going to get paid. You know, if you make the cut, you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
And that's what bass fishermen have been pushing for years. And finally, with MLF and Bassmaster, they have pushed each other to be able to do that, to have events where you don't have to pay an entry fee and you know you're going to get paid if you make the cut. And that's a lot of pressure off of a lot of guys. Paying to play is a, their word is simplistic. And you know, a lot of bass pros would probably say, well, that's kind of, you know, it's a good opportunity, but it's, that's kind of backward thinking for where Major League Fishing and Bassmaster are headed now.
Yeah, yeah. And don't know much about it. It really got social media on fire, along with all of this stuff. And, of course, there's a couple others, I think. Is the PAA still in?
PAA is not in existence anymore that I'm even aware of. And that was kind of the professional angler's push to kind of, really do what Major League Fishing did, was kind of break away and say, we want to be able to control our own destinies, and to say, we want to have a say in what we're doing, because that's what A lot of anglers, for years and years, that was their big complaint in Major League Fishing, is that they felt like they didn't have a voice, a legitimate voice in what we're doing. It's just kind of like, hey, this is our rules, and this is our deal, and you know, you come and play by our deal or else. And they wanted a voice in it. And that's when Boyd Duckett, you know, who is an angler, decided, you know what, we need to start a trail that we have more of a voice in.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I've got scheduled. Boyd Duckett's going to be on next week's show.
Awesome.
To talk about this a little more at length. And so thanks for the segue there.
Man, Boyd's a great guy and really a super super businessman. I mean, anything Boyd touches, you know, really does well in his whole life. And so I'm real good friends with his brother. And he's been real good. He bought a lot of boat tickets for us last year, so it was really, really kind of cool. But he's a great Christian man, and Boyd's a good guy, and he's, you know, got a tremendous vision.
And real quick, before we have to go to the break at the end of the hour, what's this going to do? Are all these guys still going to be looking for sponsorships and wraps and all that? Because, my goodness, there's already a lot of competition for, you know, names to put on your jersey.
Right. Absolutely. Sponsorships are critical. And they're getting more and more involved, and most of it involves around social media. Social media is the single most important thing that a pro can offer.
Yeah.
And so that's why you see everybody exponentially doing videos and exponentially doing seminars and doing little instructional videos and things. And so YouTube has really become probably the most important social media platform that a pro can have.
Wow. And if you want to sponsor, you're going to have to be on social media,
That's
and you're
exactly
going to have
right.
to do all that stuff. And sometimes I think it's more about doing that than it is about catching fish.
It really is. If people that promote are invaluable to people that need people to promote. And
yeah.
So that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody to say, hey, I want you to be able to take my product and show it to X amount of faces. And so that's what.
And I mean, you think of somebody like, you know, Ranger Boats or Mercury Outboards that everybody already knows anyway. Gosh, those guys just, you know, day in, day out.
Right.
Just, you know, next guy's on there. All right, who's next?
Yep.
Well, I'm looking for a sponsorship, you know.
It's all about selling products. It's all about representing the company well and being able to sell their product. And that's what people want. They want people with integrity and people that can get eyeballs on their product.
Awesome. We're going to get our break at the end of the hour, and we'll be back with hour two of Upstate Outdoors and going to bring you the Roadkill Cafe with special guest Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain. So stay with us. We'll be back top of the hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.